gets entered into this area of Athens, and he notices this unknown God altar, and he begins to preach and teach to these people. These people of this day and time would have been known as the intellectuals of the day. They would have been known as the people that are really, really smart. And Paul here is preaching the word of God to them. And as he preaches the word of God to them, he makes some challenges to them. As he looks at these challenges, I think these things will help us as we look at this morning, the realization of a created mind. The realization of a created mind. Acts chapter 17, verse 22, the Bible says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hills and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with an inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that have made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation." A couple things I want you to take notice there. We're going to refer back to later on that last phrase in verse 26, the bounds of their habitation. Verse number 27, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Ask the Lord's help this morning in our Sunday school lesson. Lord, I pray you speak to people's hearts. Lord, we are in need of hearing from you. Lord, we're in need and help with our thought life. And God, I pray that through the lesson this morning that you send your spirit to, Lord, just give us exactly what we need to hear. And Lord, to be encouraged by the fact that you created us and the fact that as the creator, Lord, we are able to do whatever you say we're able to. And Lord, you tell us that we can have victory in our thought life. In Jesus' name, amen. As we looked at last week, probably a theme verse for the whole entire study is 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. The Bible says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," which meaning that they're not fleshly, "but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." What is a stronghold? It's something that has grabbed a hold stronghold on something in your life. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Here's what the Bible is saying, is that we can actually bring every thought we have into the obedience of Jesus Christ. We looked at this a little bit, and we hopefully got a good understanding last week. We all probably need help with our thought lives. If we could look at what we thought about last week on a big screen, most of us would be ashamed. Most of us probably would never come back to this church, because some of the things that we think about are just things that we should not be thinking on. But we said last week, we looked at four different reasons why we should have a lesson about the mind. The first one was because our behavior will change when our thinking changes. When we begin to think the right things, then we will begin behaving the right way. The Bible taught us, and we showed us that last week, our behavior will change when our thinking changes. Second thing, the reason why we needed a series on the mind is because we need God's power to help us change. It's not something that we can will ourselves into doing. We need God's power. God is the one who's created us. He created our mind. And we need God's help in helping us change. The third thing is because everywhere we go and everything we see in our present culture is stimulating us to think wrong thoughts. Everywhere we go and everything we see in our present culture is stimulating us to think wrong thoughts. You say, "Preacher, you're just thinking of things differently." Well, yes, I do have a biblical worldview. If you want to take and think this way, is, you know, everything we see today in our culture is stimulating us to things that are anti-scriptural. If you want to say, you know, well, you say it's wrong thoughts. Well, somebody else says it's right thoughts. Well, then it's anti-Bible. It's anti-scriptural. They show you things that are trying to get you to think immoral acts. They show you things about trying to be sensitive towards things that are anti-God and anti-scriptural. So here's the point and the thought here is that everything in our culture today that our culture is sending out there today that is normal in our culture is trying to cause us to think and act unbiblically. And the fourth reason is because we are supposed to be witnesses. God knows our thoughts, and we looked at that last week, and he wants to use clean vessels. If we want God to use us, and if we're Christians and we're believers, we should want to make a difference for God. And if God wants to use us, he wants to use a clean vessel. We talked about that last week. No one really wants to use dirty silverware or dirty glasses or dirty, you know, clothing. That's why we have showers in our houses. That's why we have, dishwashers and things like that. And all those different things, because we want to use clean things. And that's the same thing that God desires. So it brings us to our second lesson in the series, What's on Your Mind? And here's one of the things I think could help us is first thing is that our minds are designed creations. We need to realize that our minds are created. Our minds are designed creation. So the first name of the lesson is the realization of a created mind. Underneath that is, on your outline, is our minds are designed creations. See, no computer can or ever match the ability of the human brain. Our minds have an amazing capacity to receive, store, and process information at unbelievable speeds and unparalleled amounts. But the architect and the creator is God himself. Think about what it says in John 1:3, and I wish we had the screen because there's a lot of great verses. You might want to write them down. Some of them are in your outline. John 1:3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So what does that have to do with my mind? Well, first thing we need to realize that is a created, is a design creation. God is created, and if God says in his word that you can capture every thought into the every thought, high thought, and everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we can bring that into captivity. God's created our mind. People say, I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. Believe me, nobody actually went out and created themselves. They did not do that. Now, they might have done something and changed himself in some area or some way and says, I made this fortune or I made this, I made that. But in all reality, God is the one who's created us. Where there is a self-made man just does not exist. John 3:27 says, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from above. The self-made man just does not exist. Man boasts of his knowledge and his skill, but without God, we can do nothing. Man does boast about how intelligent, how smart they are, but without God, we can do nothing. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:7, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? And if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? And what the Bible is saying there is this, who made you? You know, what gift did you have personally and as an individual did you receive by yourself? You know, God himself has given us the talents and abilities. If you have a gift, you have nothing to boast about because it was a gift from God. And this, you say, how does this help my mind? God has created our minds. It is a masterful purpose in mind that we have. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Psalms. We're going to have to look at some of these scriptures through the word today. In Psalms 33, puts it out there beautifully. If you believe what the Bible says, you believe the Bible is true, then you'll understand that the Bible just speaks bountifully that everything we have and everything we are, it comes from God. And to be honest with you, I think it takes more faith to believe in evolution than to believe in God. I mean, to believe that God created the heaven and earth. To think that people believe that over billions and billions of years, a tiny amoeba that was floating around in the water, and we don't know where the amoeba came from, don't know where the water came from, but that's something different. Takes a lot of flesh to believe that we've created from that. There are just too many gaps in that theory, and it takes enormous faith to believe that. But when we read in Psalms chapter 33, verses 6 through 9, it answers a lot of our questions. It says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. And where did it come from? God made it. And all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. You know, because he has created all this, because he does all these things, we should fear him. We should stand in awe of him. Verse number 9, for he spake, and it was done. He commanded and stood fast. Now, you think about these different scriptures, it teaches us the truth that God created the heaven and earth. And God created our minds. Go ahead and take your Bible now to Psalms 139. If we think about how God's created everything, think about probably one of the greatest creations that we have is the body. This involves our mind. Bill Nye, the science guy, says evolution is like the alphabet. You have to learn it. You just have to accept it. But we don't have to believe it that way. And they think this common core education just forces everyone to believe a certain amount of things, that the world would be just fine. And that's just not the case. And he likens it to learning arithmetic and math and writing. And, you know, it's just completely different than what we truly believe it to be true. Now, you say, well, how do you know that? Well, look in Psalms 139. It begins to talk about our bodies. And if we had this working today, we were going to, if it was working earlier, I was going to show you a minute or two slide about how amazing the eye is and how amazing the eye is. It had to be created. It just couldn't have evolved. And if we looked at different things about parts of our body and how our intestines, how everything is just miraculously working together at one pace. And you consider now your brain, how it just stores information and how it processes information and how your brain gives and commands other parts of your body to do certain things. It is just an amazing thing that God has created here with us. He said, what does that have to do with anything? Well, if God created our minds and he says we can have victory over our minds, then guess what? We can have victory. Because he is a created mind, is a realization of a created mind. Look what it says in Psalms 139. Verses 13 through 17. Verse number 13, the Bible says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." And he's saying at the beginning what God has done even before birth. And this is why we would be against abortion, because God's saying here that, you know, we're fearfully and wonderfully made even through conception. It says, verse 14, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." If you would just take and see how great our body has been made by God, we'd have realized there's no way it could have evolved like this. "Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." And speaking about the wonderful idea that God knows us even before we're birthed, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto thee, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain." He continues on and goes down in verse number 23. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." And the verses are saying how well God knows us. And then we ask God to search us and to reveal unto us the wickedness that we have, including that phrase at the end of verse number 23, "my thoughts," that God is interested even in what we think. Now, we had a vacation Bible school this past year, Kids Crusade, and I got to, with Brother Jim, teach a skit that talked about all the amazing things about the different animals and how there are certain animals that are made certain ways just for certain purposes. Like at the bottom of the polar bear's foot, there's a certain type of fur so it can walk across the ice without any problems. How camels have extra eyelids to actually keep the sand out. Just amazing things, how there are certain fish that can shoot out water to be able to kill bugs and things like that and be able to feed themselves. Just amazing things about God's creations that show and scream that there is a divine creator, that it is not just something that just could have popped into existence. And the first thing, if we're going to have victory in our mind, we must realize it is a design creation. Our mind is a design creation. Second thing, not is it only a design creation, but it's under divine control. It's under divine control. Take your Bibles now to Deuteronomy 29:29. Once again, these things would normally be up front, so you wouldn't have to turn so much, but these verses are really important to prove a point here. If God's designed our mind and our as a creation here, there are certain things that God has limited our mind on. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but if you ever heard someone said if you use both sides of your mind, it would be amazing what you could do. We don't use all of our mind. You know, if anybody ever thought of that, it's because God has put a limit and a divine control in what our mind is able and capable of doing. As God's creation, we are just simply not in charge. We are the created, we are not the creator. The minds that God has created within us has astounding capabilities, but they are limited. Only God is omniscient. We are limited in our knowledge because he has placed a boundary on our minds. Look what it says in Deuteronomy 29. Look what it says in verse 29. It says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Now, God has told us a lot of things, but he's saying here there are certain things he has not told us. And here he's saying he has revealed much to us, and those things he's revealed to us, what has he revealed those things so we can do? And what does that last phrase says? That we may do all the words of his law. The reason why we have been created, the reason why God has given us this knowledge was not to try to find and invent new ways to live wickedly, but instead he's given us this ability to be able to serve God. God's told us many, many things, and as we learn and understand many new facets of this world, remember why God has given us this knowledge. Where is his creation? It's under the divine control. But while man has accumulated much information over the years, I know that many of you have seen so much. You think of some of us that are in this room that are in the 80s, 90s, even 100. They've seen how much the world has changed and how much even computers have changed. But we must always remember that no matter how much knowledge we received, God still says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, no matter how much information we have, so we do not have to continue to learn everything from scratch, no matter how much information is passed along to us, the truth is we will never reach or attain to the knowledge of God until someday when we become like Jesus Christ. Not only is it this, but remember what Paul said at Acts 17 when he said, and the bounds of their habitations. God has limited us to certain things. I think that was talking about geographical locations more than it was talking about our minds, but I think there are certain limits that God has given us. I think when we come to areas like cloning, I wonder if many times we're getting close to that boundary that God has set in our minds. There are many things that God knows are best that we do not know. There are some things in this world God says, look, you're under a divine control that you do not need to know these things. And to be honest with you, this should not weaken our faith. When I study creation and when I study the body, and I study about all these animals, these things increase my faith. They encourage me to see that there is a divine creator. Where do we learn there's a divine creator? We learn it from the Bible. And if we can believe the truths of that, guess what? We can believe the other truths in it. Just as we believe in the beginning God created the heaven and earth, we can also believe that we can bring every thought into the captivity of Jesus Christ. Now, I can't always explain all the different doctrines of the Bible. Like, for instance, if you consider the eternal being of God, as a human being, I cannot really express or even fathom that he has always been. He's never will stop being. We can talk about it in your human terms, but we can't really put a grasp on that. But should that make us weak in our faith? No. The Bible teaches us that someday our faith will become sight. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall even as also am known. Our minds are in divine control. And someday when we become like Christ, our minds will be different. But there are certain things in this world we just don't have a handle on. We just don't know. Third thing, I know we've rushed through these a little bit because I want to get to this last one. Not only we design creation and under divine control, but we make deliberate choices. Here's the thought is that our minds are created in a certain way that we make a choice in what we do. We see that. We understand that, don't we? When we are faced with an opportunity, whether we're going to sin or not sin, we make a deliberate choice. We choose whether or not we want to sin. In Acts chapter 17, when Paul was talking to his men on Mars Hills, he was saying to them, he says, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him. He's saying, look, you should make a choice to seek after God. You have a choice that's been given to you. God's created the heaven and earth. God is not like a man where he needs things from you. They built this altar to the unknown God. They were worshiping all these false gods, and these were supposed to be the really intelligent people of the day. And he says, look, God created the heaven and earth, and he says, then that they should seek the Lord. You should make a choice with this no knowledge and this no understanding. Along with the ability our minds receives, process, and stores information, God has given us the ability to make choices about the information we received. See, we're different than animals. And you know that I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I've told you that before. And don't be shaking your head, yes. But that's just the truth. I'm not as smart as some people. But as I was doing some research, animals are created with an instinctive reflex, the scientists say. Sometimes they don't think before they react. If you surprise a dog by pulling its ears, many times it will bite you. And that Proverbs even tells you that. Because simply it's reacting to an adverse stimuli. But the human mind was created differently. It has the ability to pause between stimuli and the response that it can make the right choice if it chooses to. Animals many times do not have that buffer zone. Listen to what a scientist wrote. You can tell I didn't write it because it had bigger words in it than I know how to use, but I'll try to pronounce them right at least. God has created a buffer zone between the stimulus and the response. Scientists have been studying the brain for years, and while there is so much to learn, here is what they say about the human mind's capability of choice. Neuronal activity begins in the sensory areas of the brain for as much as a second before voluntary motor activities occur. As the neuronal activity begins in the premotor areas of the cortex and in some areas of the basal ganglia, many milliseconds before motor activity occurs in the motor cortex. Therefore, it is currently thought that the cerebration occurring in these integrated portions of the brain, operating in associations with the cerebellum, conceives and plans the complex sequence of movements that is set to be executed. Only after the plan has been established is the primary motor system set into action that causes the sequential movements. Well, all those big fancy words and things they're saying is that you have a second to make your choice of what you're going to do. You're not like an animal where you have to respond to the adverse stimuli in a certain way, but instead you actually have the ability to make a choice for yourself. And this is what we help understand when it says, when the Bible says, was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. See, temptation is not the sin. It's when how we respond to it. Jesus Christ was the one that was said about in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In other words, the same wrong stimuli that calls to us every day likewise tempted our Savior. But he did not sin. But in the moment of choice, he chose not to sin, for he was God. In that split second of time, though, between temptation and response, our bodies give us the ability to choose. See, our brains are created. And as it's created, it has a design creator in Jesus Christ. He has told us that we can have victory in our thought life. He has given us a divine control. There are certain things we will never understand because that's just the way God set up those limits. He's put us a habitation. There are certain things that are secret thoughts that are made for God that someday we will understand when our faith becomes sight, when we see Jesus Christ. But also, we also know that we make deliberate choices with our brains. Take your Bible and go to Genesis chapter number 3. I want to show you two examples here of the choices that man makes. Genesis chapter number 3. Some of you might even know where I'm going with this. In Genesis chapter number 3, we see Eve here has a choice. Eve chooses to sin. Is it because of the fact she was forced to? No, it was a choice she had. And the serpent approached her. The serpent made some claims against God, and she looked at the fruit. As she was looking at the fruit, she made a choice. It wasn't that she was forced to do something, but it was a choice that she had. Let's look here in Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, have God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." So we have adverse stimuli that is affecting Eve. They're challenging God. These are not good thoughts. These are things that are questioning God's goodness and questioning the truthfulness of God. Verse number 6, And this is stimuli. He's trying to get him to go against what God has told him to do. Verse number 6, and when the woman saw, once again, it wasn't something that she was forced to do. She took time to look that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, you see here in the story that this woman had a choice. She didn't just go and do it. And we even see in the story, I believe Adam had a choice too. I mean, but what choice did Adam have? Adam had a choice whether or not he was going to eat of the fruit. Now, I want you to take your Bible to Genesis chapter 39. So we have the adverse stimuli that came to Eve, and Eve chose the sin. And in our lives here, we choose whether or not we want to live and do what's right. Genesis chapter 39, we have another story here. Another person is presented with sin, and he chooses not to sin. And this is the story of Joseph. Now, most of you know this story, but I'll catch you up for the people that don't know this story. Joseph has been sold into slavery. Joseph, by his brothers. Great job from his brothers, I know. They deal all the way to Egypt. A man named Potiphar buys him. Then Potiphar's wife sees Joseph. Potiphar's wife lusts after Joseph. Potiphar's wife then asks Joseph to have immoral activity with her. And Joseph refuses. Now, he is confronted. Once again, Joseph is a slave. Just like any natural young man, he probably has lustful desires. But once again, it's not wrong to have that. It's just whether or not you react upon those. And this young man chose not to sin. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 39, verse number 7. The Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused. Now, once again, he has a choice here. He is confronted with sin. He's confronted with the adverse stimuli, and he is saying, here, look, I want you to sin with me. And Joseph says, no, he refuses. And said unto his master's wife, behold, my master, what if not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand? There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Now, so when he is attacked or when he is looked upon for his sin, he has a choice here. And here's his choice is, am I going to act upon this temptation? What are you getting at, Pastor? I'm getting at this is that every time you have a temptation come to your mind, you can choose not to sin. It might seem kind of odd to put it that simple or that easy, but anytime you have something that even a thought that comes to your mind, the Bible's saying you can bring that into captivity. You say, that's something I'm not supposed to think about. That's not something I'm supposed to look upon. When temptation is brought to our mind to lie or to steal or to cheat, we as believers have the ability to choose to look at it as a sin against God and say, I'm choosing not to do that. Where do you see that in the Bible? That's in Romans chapter 6. It says that we're dead to sin, that we're freed from that bondage of sin, and we can choose to live for God. And here's the point. How can we have victory in our mind? We first have to say, my mind was created by God. I understand it's under God's divine control. But even though God has created it and it's under his control, he allows me to make deliberate choices. Everything I come up against is a choice that I make. I'm not like what Sigmund Freud says, we're just products of our environment. We are not just products of our environment. What a difference a simple choice can make in one person's lives. Joseph could say, I'm a product of my environment. My brothers didn't want me. I'm a slave here, and there's no reason for me to be here. I shouldn't be owned by this man. His wife should be something I should be able to enjoy because she wants it too. No. He says, I cannot sin against my God. Both people, Eve and Joseph, were tempted. That was not the sin. It was the fact that one gave in to the sin and the other didn't. It was the fact that one did right and one did wrong. We are not simply products of our environment. We are instead products of our choices. That's the things that we've conceived in our minds or the things we've carried out in our actions. These are what we become products of. No one makes us do wrong without our consent. No one tells us that we are forced to do something. We choose and have the power of choices whether or not we will sin or not sin. Solomon said, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You know what the Bible's saying there? Even when it feels like pressure is on you, you can still consent thou not. I know that sometimes we live in a very wicked day and a very wicked time period where the world will tell you you have to sin to fit in, where the world will tell you you have to sin in order to just be alive, just like Bill Nye says, oh, you just got to learn evolution just like you learned the alphabet. You don't have a choice. And that's what the world is trying to feed you and say, you don't have a choice. You have to believe this. And in reality, we all have a choice. You can choose God or you can choose not God. But your choices have consequences. And here it is we have a creative mind, and God says, I give you a choice whether or not you want to give in to temptation or not. So because of this, it would be wise for us daily to ask our Creator to say, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my strength and my Redeemer. That not only the words of my mouth do I want them to be acceptable, but also the meditation of my heart. Also, as we looked at Psalms 139, it says that, search me, O Lord, and know my thoughts. That means, make my thoughts known unto me, Lord, so I can have victory here, so I can know and have victory in my thought life. Here's a couple things I want you to think about. A couple things, and we'll be finished here. You know, if our bodies are one of the most intricate of all creations, do we truly believe we can have victory in our thought lives? If God's created us and he's given us a mind and we believe the Bible, and the Bible says we can bring every captivity into the obedience of Jesus Christ, do we really truly believe we can have victory? And if that's the case, then how come we don't have the victory we should? How come we don't have the victory we should? If God has placed boundaries on your mind, your knowledge, and your understanding, do you find yourself trusting your logic, your limited mind, or God's omniscience? Now, here's the thing, is if my mind is limited, as we learn, it's under divine control, I only have a certain amount that I'm able to conceive and know, then am I trusting in my limited mind, my logic, or am I trusting in God's omniscience? Because God's omniscience tells us many truths that our flesh will tell us something completely different against. And remember what David said in 1 Chronicles. You can turn there if you want, or you can just listen. In 1 Chronicles, David was giving this to his son, and he was telling him the importance of the truth here. He says, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. And here's the reason. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thought. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. You know, God knows why you came to church today. Now, some of you are sitting here and say, well, I came to church because I came to church for the fellowship. I came to church because someone made me to. I came to church because I didn't come to Pastor Pease would come to my house. I came to church because, I don't know. Hopefully he came to church to learn about God and want to have a chance to worship God and be able to be an encouragement to other people. But the Bible's saying here is that God knows your heart. He even knows your thoughts. He understands your thoughts. And he's saying that, and David's saying, if you seek him, he will be found of thee. So if you come with an open heart, the Bible's saying that you'll be able to fellowship with God. You'll be able to understand God, and you'll be able to have that understanding with him. You'll be found of him. Now, what does this have to do with our mind? And I know this lesson was a little bit different than what we usually have. And our mind, our series on the mind is probably going to be a little bit more challenging when it comes to just different scriptures and bouncing around instead of looking at one scripture. But it's supposed to give you an encouragement here and supposed to focus you that you have a created mind. And this created mind can be brought underneath the control of Jesus Christ. Are you going to be Christ-centered? Or you can be self-centered. And your thought life can also be Christ-centered too. Remember, you have your mind is designed, created by design. It is also divinely controlled. But you make the deliberate choices of your life. What choices are you making today? Are you making with the choice that God says you can have victory over sin? You can have victory in your thought life? Are you making those type of choices with God's omniscience? Are we living according to our flesh? Living according to our ability to reason things out? Because as we look to self, we always bring ourselves to shame. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I am thankful when I read and hear and see the things that we spoke about today, how you are in complete control of all things. Oh, I just praise you for knowing that our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God, how I can trust in you. Lord, I do not have to trust in my own imaginations and my own thoughts and my own desires. But Lord, instead I can lean not on my own understandings. Lord, I can let you direct my paths. Help us to understand as a church and as individuals that our mind has been designed and created by God. The scientists don't know how to explain it all. Men's best and brightest, Lord, don't even come close to your thoughts. And Lord, that we relish in, Lord, the fact that you know all things and that you have put us under a divine control that we cannot reach certain limits, that we must have faith in you and trust in you and things of weighty matter, such as the existence of the eternal existence of God, even the Trinity of God, Lord, even the depths of how much God loves us. Lord, these are things that we can't even fathom in our own mind, the extent of the greatness of God. Lord, help us not be discouraged, but instead help us look forward to the day where our faith becomes sight, and Lord, where we get to become like Jesus Christ. Lord, I also pray that we make those deliberate choices with the understanding that you are in complete control. You created us divinely. And Lord, that in your knowledge and your understanding, you are willing to lead us and direct us. And Lord, that we can make choices for you. Help us never think that we are sold under sin as Christians, that we do not have a choice when it comes to our lives and whether or not we choose to do what's right or do what's wrong. But as believers, Lord, we are now under a new grace that we can choose to do what's right. Lord, speak to people's hearts today. Also speak to people's hearts in their service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.